Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have sticks, will travel. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the TV shows of the 20th century, from the 1950s Dragnet to NYPD Blue. I don't know. Which two shows we have not done and might never do. I'm your TV guide, Brett White, and I'm also the drag queen, Barb Hardley, when I am not in Jonathan Hart drag. And say hello to the snow leopard, to my glass prison full of penguins, Ethan Kay. Hi, Ethan.
This is going to be a fun episode. I knew that we needed to go into the new year with something strong and that plays on your strengths. So yeah. I was like, what about heart to heart?
We're in the 80s and it doesn't get more 80s or just... chef's kiss. So first of all, I will say, please go to the YouTube where we have a special bonus part of this episode, as long as all the files are okay. Where I took Ethan on a special quest.
It was exciting.
A heart-to-heart quest.
I was completely not expecting anything that happened during this virtual quest. So check us out on YouTube. That was fantastic.
Any other updates?
Well, you know, we did the last episode we did was our year in review.
The year end.
Looking forward to. And I said, of course, that the Must Have Seen performance of the year was, of course, John Saxon in Streets of San Francisco, because I am a huge John Saxon fan. And for just a couple dollars, I was able to get an autographed photo of Mr. John Saxon. Another reason for you to check out the YouTube, because I got this beautiful John Saxon photo autographed to Karen.
I was like, yeah, what does it say? Is it just like, thanks for being a fan?
Well, here's the story behind it, is that I bought this from the daughter of Karen Dahey, who was a hair and makeup stylist during the 70s, 80s, and 90s. In TV and Hollywood, in TV and film. So it says, to Karen, warmest wishes, John Saxon, 10/11/84, 9:40 p.m. as usual.
Wait, what? Is that just like when he was getting his hair done? Or
my guess is that was probably, here's my fantasy scenario about this photo, is that this was from when he was a guest on the show Glitter, which was about an entertainment magazine. And she was doing the hair and makeup for that.
We need to do that. What the fuck is that?
My guess is that his scenes shot late in the evening. So the time that she was able to get this signed was late in the evening while he was probably just hanging around waiting for a call. So,
okay. We 100% have got to track Glitter down. The cast, well, first of all, Artie Johnson is a series regular, and Artie Johnson, one of my short kings, one of my heroes, makes me wonder, is this a comedy? Also, David Byrne. There's a bunch of the other regulars, Diane Kay, Dorian Harewood, Melinda Kulea, Christopher Mayer, Barbara Sharma, Tracy Nelson, Tim Patrick Murphy, Arthur Hill, Morgan Brittany.
But even though that John Saxon was only on one episode, he's not in the main not in the main cast, but
Marky Post, it's a series for,
it's from Aaron Spelling.
I mean, an Aaron Spelling show about a, an entertainment magazine in 1984. This is, I need to see this
with Artie Johnson.
With Artie Johnson, is it a dramatic role?
And Tracy Nelson.
Oh my God.
Okay. The daughter of Ricky Nelson.
Oh,
who,
wow.
Who we just featured in The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Ozzie and Harriet. Artie Johnson played a character named Clive Richlin.
It's got to have some kind of interest. This is us discovering things, ladies and gentlemen.
Great style. Love him. I love Artie Johnson so much.
So, yeah, this is the show called Glitter. But now, yes, it is the our conversation inspired me to get an autographed photo of John Saxon. Every family, every house, every home
needs one.
Needs a picture of John Saxon.
Especially if you live in Murfreesboro, which is where he died and where which I was
where he died.
From. Wild.
I'm gonna put it up on my wall next to my picture of Alfred E. Newman that says "What Me Worry," and another one that I'm getting of Jack Elam.
Wow,
nerdy as hell.
Speaking of nerdy, let's just dive into my.
Let's talk about
session. This week we're traveling to November 24th, 1981. Time Bandits ruled the box office. Physical by Olivia Newton-John topped the charts. And ABC aired the heart-to-heart episode, Hearts Under Glass. Ethan, you must have seen Hearts Under Glass before today.
I have not. I have seen two episodes of Heart-to-Heart. One of them was the one that we did last time.
The psychic.
Yeah, episodes. The psychic one, which was good. And then I liked it.
And then for season two, me and Winston Noel talked about the dog, the poisoned dog food episode.
You've told me about that one.
It's not poisoned. It just makes people, I think, get like high. So you know what this episode is about. I want to tell you like the episodes surrounding it. So, because I'm trying to go in order. So I was like, season three is all bangers. It's all killer, no filler.
Which is actually disappointing because it's the only season that is not streaming on a free service.
So annoying. So this episode we're about to discuss. Now I want to tell you the episodes of Heart to Heart that aired before it and after it. So you're a loyal Heart to Heart fan. You're watching every week. First up, you watch Murder Up Their Sleeve, November 17th, 1981. What first appears to be an illusion becomes reality when Jonathan Hart, lookalike bent on revenge, teams with his magician brother to plot the murder of the real Jonathan in order to take over the Hart's corporate empire. And then you watch this episode, which we will get to. And then the week after that, December 1st, 1981, Rhinestone Hearts. Jennifer's party outfit sparkles with danger when she discovers that the stunning rhinestone costume loaned to her by a cowgirl actually bears stolen diamonds worth $9 million.
Ooh.
So like,
I don't know.
This is what you get with this show, is every single week you tune in, you're like, well, I know it's going to have Robert Wagner, Stephanie Powers, and Max. Oh God.
Lionel Standard.
Jesus. I know it's gonna have the three of them. Probably Freeway. Probably a little Freeway. Get a little pet on the head. And then who knows?
It could go anywhere and it does.
The Rhinestone Hearts episode also features an actual up and coming country music singer who does like, I think, two full numbers.
Woo! Well, you know, I had to watch this on YouTube because it's not available anywhere else. And it's a 2.5 hour long video. And I'm like, what is the rest of it? So I watched the first, 45 minutes, and it's the episode Hearts Under Glass. And then suddenly it cuts to another Heart to Heart episode starring Dean Stockwell.
Oh, yeah.
Of all people. Dressed in a Confederate soldier uniform.
Right, yeah. It's like a reenactment episode. Then I think it has an extended Gone with the Wind riff at the end of it.
I was not expecting to see Dean Stockwell today, but you know what? It made the day a little bit
always
better.
Welcome. So. But let's not waste any more time, because this week on Must Have CTV, we'll be talking about the Heart-to-Heart episode of Hearts Under Glass. It is the sixth episode of season three, and it was written by Lawrence Herzog and Bill and Joe LeMond, and directed by Harry Weiner. Here's how the DVD box that I just read from describes the episode. Jonathan learns that his brush with death was no accident when an eccentric art collector plans his demise so that he can obtain the ultimate art object, the beautiful Jennifer. Ethan, how accurate is that description?
It's weirdly accurate. I don't like to say how accurate it was, but you know what? It's very accurate.
Baby, that is exactly what we are getting into. So, I mean, hey, man.
I was not expecting this at all. Like,
yeah,
did you
know where this episode was going? How did
no? I was expecting this guy to like, I want to bump off Jonathan so I can marry Jennifer. And that would make sense in my mind, in my world, in my neck of the woods in Westchester. That's what we do up here. But this really did surprise me that he just wanted to keep her under glass.
Yeah, when I was trying to find episodes, I was like, man, Rhinestone Hearts is very good. But Hearts Under Glass, I was like, oh, I don't even need to look at the rest of the season, because this episode, I remember watching this for the first time and being like, this is wild. So we get the opening credits. You know him, you love him.
That's my boss, Jonathan Hart. He's so fucking sexy. I just want to run my fingers through that lovely coiffed hair.
And, oh, sorry. That's just me talking about him.
As Max, the Neanderthal. But
what I do love is, like, by season three, you're starting to get... The season five credits are the best ones because they have five seasons of just insanity to pull from. So that's what I love about, like this one has an extended jet ski chase, Max in drag, like, all of them in costumes. Like, Jonathan's wearing, like a pork pie. He's dressed like one of those old timey music man, like Barkers or whatever, with the like the red and white striped suit coat and the hat and then a big fur coat. And he's like, ah, it's great. This is insane.
The YouTube video didn't have the opening credits. So I missed out on those.
It's just hey guys, here's the insanity that we've done for 3 years now. The episode opens with a nefarious Baldy in his office wearing, we only see his white glove.
Yeah, the episode started on YouTube with the window shades going down.
Yes, yes, yes.
And some bald person is showing another bald person the perfect person that he has found, that the computer has determined.
The computer chose Jennifer Hart. And he's shot like Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget for this entire scene. Like, you only see his hand and he's from behind, and then the curtain goes down and then the guy is like, the computer chose your perfect mate, the perfect woman, Jennifer. And then it just shows photos, her skiing, her glamour shoots, climbing mountains.
And then awful photo of the two of them together.
Can we just
talk?
He
looks great. He looks great, but she, like, they caught her like mid sneeze or something. She's terrible. It's not a good photo.
I wrote down in my notes, why does this picture exist in universe? Because this is a promo photo of Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers selling Heart to Heart, which makes total sense. They are glamorous celebrities in a glamorous show. You take a glamorous photo, you send that to newspapers. But why do Jonathan and Jennifer Hart have this photo? Why were they doing group glamour shots, the two of them? It's great. I love it.
Engagement photos. That's when people take photos. Engagement.
Yeah. Photos. And of course the Hearts like, well, our engagement photos need to have me laying down seductively behind you with like a wine glass and you're holding a rose or whatever.
And your face needs to be scrunched up in a very strange fashion. Like, it took me out of it. But you know,
talk about these two Baldies.
So these two Baldies are there is Dodsworth Nash, who is the reclusive billionaire played by John Daner.
Just talking about Dodsworth Nash, we don't know. He's a collector. He doesn't show his collection to anyone. He doesn't appear in public. He's just wealthy. He has an office. Do you think that office is in his house? It has to be.
Yeah, it has. He doesn't.
He's a recluse.
Much anything. Wow. He doesn't leave.
And he has henchmen and cronies galore.
Yeah, he's got a house full of cronies. Now, the actor John Daner, I thought he was interesting. He started his career not as an actor, but as an in-between animator for Disney before the war. He worked on Bambi and Fantasia and The Reluctant Dragon, and he's in The Reluctant Dragon, the movie, because The Reluctant Dragon is atypical of most Disney films. It was during the 1940s where Disney's like, people really want to see how the Disney studio works.
Yeah.
So he has Robert Benchley take a tour of the Disney studio as they are trying to put together a movie, The Reluctant Dragon. So he stops by the story department and the sound department and other things. And as he goes to the story department, there are animators putting up storyboards for a little cartoon called Baby Weems, which is about a super smart baby. And the main animator for that is actually an actor played by Alan Ladd, who is very famous name. This is pre-fame Alan Ladd. And one of the assistant animators was an actual animator from the studio, which was John Daner.
Wow.
He played a lot of con men and bad guys, radio, TV, a lot of Westerns. He had a regular gig on the Doris Day Show as the editor, Cy Bennett.
Oh, okay. And one of the many casts that show had.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember if he wasn't in the one that we
did. I don't think so.
But his big break, his big claim to fame was he was in 106 episodes of Have Gun, Will Travel, the radio show, as the main character Paladin. I don't know.
Not the Spider-Man villain Paladin.
No.
he's like a Spider-Man character. Yeah. And then the other guy whose face looks familiar.
He's Ben Piazza. Did a lot of TV, so you might have seen him from that kind of stuff. The thing that IMDb says he's known for is in the Blues Brothers. There's the poor part where they're out eating and there's a family next to them, and Dan Aykroyd goes, "How much for the little girl? How much will you pay for the little?" He's like trying to buy Ben Piazza's daughter, okay, as they're out to eat. Yeah.
But homosexual came out, right? Like that's good.
Passed away of AIDS, unfortunately.
Oh,
but you know, he was from what I read, he was married and he said, "No, I got to live my truth." And was in a relationship with this the love of his life.
Yeah. And you know what? He was a great Mr. Kane.
Mr. Kane, that's his
I
name.
I wish that this show had recurring villains, because also, like, I mean, the dog food episode, so the people that poison the dog food is a, like, mad scientist in a wheelchair and his, like, leather-clad bombshell, like, badass lady sidekick. And it's like, one episode. So, like, this is just, like, he is a full-blown James Bond villain. Like, he's a germaphobe who has a Gutenberg Bible and a snow leopard, and he, of course, wants Jennifer Hart, and they will kill Jonathan in order to get her.
That was the plan. They announced the plan in the opening scene that he wants. You think he's going to marry her, because it sounds like he's going to marry her, but he just says we have to kill Jonathan Hart.
And that's bad timing, because this is their fifth anniversary.
Yeah.
So this is also where the heart to heart is queer relationship goals. I love them because they're adults. Well, okay. So the voiceover says, when was Stephanie Powers actually born? Not to put her on the spot or whatever.
Yeah, there's
but
the whole
they
thing.
They do say Stephanie Powers' birthday, 42. So Jennifer Hart is 7 years younger than Stephanie Powers, because they say she was born in 49. But I do like, so these are like adults who met as adults who just got married. This is season three, so they got married 2 years before the show started.
Well, they say it's their fifth year anniversary.
Oh, of being married. Yeah, well, they do show when they met, and they met in London. But I just like, they don't have kids. They just have a lovely house. They just love having sex and like going to art gallery openings, outdoor art gallery openings. I don't know.
That's something they Jonathan gives her a 5-carat ring. A 10-carat ring, Diamond for their fifth anniversary. And he said, oh, I wanted to get you a 5-carat, but they only had 10 in stock.
You'll grow into it.
You'll grow into it.
That's oh, not and how I do.
He speaks, but.
I need to also, of course, we got to have a Jonathan outfit check, because this is a very good overview of Jonathan's entire wardrobe. This episode, we open up with him wearing a button down with a neckerchief tied around his neck and then a velvet like shawl collared smoking jacket. And it's great. and I'm sure you noticed that. Absolutely. This is where my mind goes.
I just want to look at Max because Max is just such a weird character. I love you guys. I love both of you guys.
I love that he, I love that moment of him just being like, oh, I love you guys. It's like, oh, yeah. By the end of the episode, you're going to be wearing like a Groucho mask, infiltrating a mansion as a glass expert.
If you haven't seen the show, Max is unfrozen caveman butler.
Yeah.
he's just like, he's the best part of the show for me. I think he's great. He's played by Lionel Stander. I wrote down some biographical notes. He was in he did a lot of stuff kind of like pre-war, including In the Dough with Shemp Howard and Fatty Arbuckle.
Hell yeah.
And he was in a completely separate Life of Riley radio show as Riley before the William Bendix radio show that got turned into a TV show. Everything, all roads lead.
It all comes back to the Life of Riley.
Life of Riley. He was a founder of SAG.
Word.
He was a founding member of SAG, which brought him a lot of unwanted Joseph McCarthy attention, where he was blacklisted for a number of years. He could only do theater until he's just like, screw you guys, went to London. Screw you guys. I'm doing double.
Screw you guys. I'm going to London.
Doing the double bird. And he went to London, restarted his career.
I thought you were going to say wreaked havoc.
Wreaked havoc. He probably did. You know?
He is Ben Grimm. Like, I would not be surprised if Jack Kirby was like, yeah, that guy.
He literally was Cup in the Transformers.
Which, yeah. So there was this weird. So like, God, I love. So first of all, Jonathan Hart is one of my favorite fictional characters of all time. And I mean, yes, part of that is Robert Wagner being the sexiest man of all time. Absolutely. But I love that he looks like that and makes the worst jokes. The absolute worst, and knowingly so. When he's like, I got you a little token from Emily's from New York City. Since we can't go to New York City.
Well, that's later. Token. That's later.
No, it's this scene right here.
That's right.
And he hands her the gift, and she's like, and she opens it. And it's literally a subway token. And he's like, keep pulling it out, and then that's where the 10-carat ring is. But since they can't go to New York because he has worked something,
yeah,
he's gonna be taking her to Dodsworth. Nash is gonna show off. Is gonna like donate a sculpture to an art something or other. And Jennifer is immediately like, oh, man, he's a recluse. We got to go see this. Like, she's on board.
Okay. Like, he's a freak. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a freak with money. We have money, but we're not freaks yet.
So we're gonna go see the other freak as he displays his art, which is, it looks like a, you know, spoiler, it looks like the shovel of construction equipment.
Or it looks like a bunch of just like giant red metal check marks just connected by.
It looks like a plow.
It's like, yeah, it's plow. It probably was. I love it. So then the next scene is they're at this art gallery donation ceremony. Jonathan is wearing a gray double-breasted suit, peak lapels, which is his like default suit. Absolute stunningly handsome. We love him. And then he entered Dodsworth Nash. So like, how does he enter this situation? I wrote, is he Dr. Moreau?
he's black sunglasses, black tuxedo, just like
he's dressed
overdressed.
two guy got the gloves and got a henchman like holding an umbrella over him.
Yeah, and the henchman is Kane.
Yes,
and Piazza as Kane.
I like Kane.
I now, like Kane. as far as henchmen go, like, sure, he's only in one episode, but you know what? He's a great henchman. He's great.
And very memorable. Now, we have to talk about, I think money cannot buy you planning and strategy skills.
No.
Dothrak Nash, super rich, and he's like, the way that they're going to kill Jonathan is the dumbest
thing. The dumbest way. His plan is to pay $50,000 to the crane operator, and as they are lifting this giant plow up to put on some plinth or something, they swing it wide, and Nash pushes Jennifer aside, and the plow is supposed to hit Jonathan.
Now, kill him, which it doesn't, because he jumps out of the way. I am just like, how did they arrive on this? Like, poison him. Like, come on.
You could easily, there are easier ways to kill people than in front of everyone that you've invited to this event.
Via art sculpture, via sculpture, death via sculpture, via crane. Like, as we find out later, that crane operator dead. Like, for missing, he gets fed to a snow leopard off camera.
I'm going to have to look now the inflation calculator to see how much $50,000 in 1981 is worth now. So, if in 1981 I purchased an item for $50,000, in 2023, it would be, $169,000.
I would, if I was a crane operator, I would put my crane operating career on the line.
You'd use your crane operating license for evil.
Also, like, what is the next, like, if they investigate that at all, what is the crane operator's excuse for swinging wide like that? Like, whoops, my knee hit the gear shift or something.
And I killed a millionaire.
That killed a millionaire. God, it's great.
What's the billionaires? What, there's a line that cracked me up where they talk about his world's foremost collection. And she says, what is it? What is a collection of? And he goes, everything.
Yeah. Which, we do. A glass case full of penguins and Da Vinci's sketches. Like, it's, yeah, he covered.
When you say everything, that means you're a hoarder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a very expensive hoarder. You have, years worth of newspapers and cereal boxes.
Yeah. So now the next scene, we're back in the bed. We're in the heart master bedroom, and Jonathan is wearing his cute pajamas. His arm is in a sling, and they're both like, oh, we should really thank Mr. Nash for like saving your life. Like, I can't believe. Oh, yeah.
Nash came to the house to apologize.
Oh, yeah. He's downstairs. I noticed. Yeah. Now, I also noticed Max's outfit. Max is wearing a vest. The silk back of the vest looks like it has tiny Pegasuses on it. Which I was like, that's good.
Max has something in the next scene, an apron that is unbelievably good. We'll get to it, but an outfit so good that should be the YouTube thumbnail is Max in this apron.
He always has crazy aprons. It's like one of his defining characteristics, which I love.
Okay, well, so Nash invites Jennifer to dinner.
He sends her some flowers and gets it out. Okay, and I again have to talk. I'm sorry, but everything Jonathan wears is so good in this episode. White cardigan, a maroon kind of like striped shirt, and then baby, he's got to have the arm in a sling. So you better believe he's taken like one of his red satin polka dot neckerchiefs and is tied it around, and he's just sitting there with it in a sling. And later on, in the next thing, when he's wearing a tuxedo, he's got a matching black. It's like an artistic, simple paisley, like white on black. And it's like, I love this man. I love
they
that
he's know like, how, I, they knew how this this was going
to
go.
I have to match my makeshift slings to my outfits. They got to be. Yeah. I love it so much.
They knew he was style personified. So they're like, he just added an accessory. Accessory has to match.
Yeah. And this is also where we find out, like right around here is where we find out that like, they're like, hey, also that crane guy's loose end. Take care of him for me. This is where we learn out Dodsworth Nash ain't fucking around.
No, no. He'll kill anyone. He wants to kill Jonathan.
He says that he even compares Jennifer to a snow leopard. He's like, this is no different than the snow leopard. We just took that snow leopard.
we have a little scene with Jonathan and Jennifer talking at outdoors.
The anniversary scene, and then the apron is when they're being served breakfast at their little nook in the living room or in the kitchen.
Okay,
and then we have them at Dodsworth because he has invited Jennifer. I did not think that he expected her to bring a plus one.
Because she had also said that Jonathan hasn't been cutting his meat well these days, which is a very strange thing to say. I assume it was about his broken arm, but it's an odd way of saying like he is injured. But Max's apron is a white apron with a blue ribbon around the back. It has numerous military medals across one breast, and right around the center is a giant Star of David. it is. At first, I thought it was like a Masonic apron, like a very strange Masonic apron, but it's kind of like a Masonic apron that grew long and got military badges on it. It is unbelievable. I wrote in big letters, Max Apron. What the fuck? I wrote that too.
God, this show. They knew what they were doing. Because like the next scene, so the scene of them like it opens and it's like a tighter shot of Dodsworth and Jonathan in tuxes and Jennifer in a gown, and they're at the end of this table. And then it cuts to like a wide shot, and they are all crowded at the far end of a long empty table, and they're like, oh, I expected there to be more people this morning.
So she says like, oh, well, like, I'm sorry that no one else could make it.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments of the episode is in the previous scene after Jennifer gets invited and Jonathan's like, oh, flowers. And he's invited you to dinner. And she's like, oh, well, do you want to come? And he says like, I wouldn't miss it for all the disinfected in the broom closet. And it's like, okay, fine. And then at the next scene, they're there. And Dodsworth is like, oh, so glad you could come. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't miss it for all the... She's like, Jonathan! Don't stop it! It's very much like on Bob's Burgers when Bob has to be like, Gene. I love it. God. Oh.
And also, all of Nash's... like Nash is an extremely wooden, unpleasant character. Yeah. There is no buttering anybody up. It is just an expectation that everyone will do what he says.
You're a person that I will now have. I have to say, he has to be the worst boss. Out of any millionaire you could work for, I do think he's up there as one of the worst.
Yeah, he's getting up there in age, so he's kind of lost a lot of that kind of like soft soap. He's just a little bit more like he's gruff in a non-Max kind of way.
Yeah, and it's like he's a germaphobe, a very strict germaphobe. So lots of rules, lots of no touchies, lots of everything that'd be clean. And then he collects like exotic animals. So we all watch Tiger King. We know that ain't easy.
Well, yeah, we that moves us actually into the next scene.
Yeah, where
is that he shows them around. Them. Yeah, he shows them their his collection, which is
some diamonds.
Yeah, there's a big diamond, a 220 carat diamond. There are Da Vinci sketches that are matted very strangely.
Yeah.
It's like these Da Vinci sketches are matted under one board that has multiple squares cut out of it. And each of these Da Vinci sketches is under one of these squares. So it's just like one long piece of cardboard, mat board.
It's like how windows. My parents would display, like Opryland vacation photos in like a.
It's like a weird scrapbook. It's a very like pale advent calendar.
Yeah. And then you bet. Well, then Jonathan spots a broken case, which is like the Gutenberg. I'm assuming it's a Gutenberg Bible. They say it's a Bible later, but I mean, like, he's going to have an important Bible. And it's cracking the case, not hermetically sealed. Uh-oh, that'll come back. And then they hear some growling. I like that. The snow leopard is just like within earshot.
Yep. Loud enough. And he admits, I have multiple animals. I believe I take care of them very properly. They're very well taken care of, as far as I'm concerned.
But Jennifer says, needs to be free. That animal needs to be free. Like, oh.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what's about to happen.
And then we go to a commercial.
Oh, yeah. Commercial. And then picnic.
Yeah. Picnic in the park. With a weird hitman standing behind them.
There are so many people, like, how many like kidnappings, assassinations, and murders do you have to be doing on a regular to justify having this many hitmen on like regular payroll?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's doing a lot.
He has to get all of these things legally or illegally. He has to have these Da Vinci sketches.
So the picnic, Jonathan is wearing this nice jeans, some nice Nike sneakers, which he very rarely wears sneakers. And a green pullover with like a zip front. So I love this. She's like, I gotta go get a hot dog. She goes to the hot dog. She runs into Mr. Crane. She invites him back to their picnic.
Yeah.
It's so nice. But then she
said yes. If he had only said yes, everything would have fallen into place.
Two paths, snowy wood, baby. And then she says, when he's like, no, Dodds, Mr. Nash needs to talk to you right now. And she's like, you're standing between me and my mustard. Oh.
And he points out that behind Jonathan is a man with a gun.
Yeah. And then he kidnaps her. And then, baby, we get stunts.
He kidnaps her in the largest car available.
Broad daylight in a very public park.
Yeah.
And Jonathan, like, the severity of Jonathan's injury is very all over the place in this.
Yeah.
Because he gets kind of better right here and then immediately re-injures it because he, like...
He hangs on the back of a trunk of a car.
Yeah.
As it whips around.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I realize, like, it's the start. Like, he's running to chase the car. The car then goes in reverse to, like, hit him. And I think I am so desensitized to modern, like, you know, stunts.
Yeah.
That I have to realize this is 1981. That real car really hit a real person who really, like, jumped into the back and slammed into that back windshield.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why the stunts were so good. There was no CGI. There was no special effects. It was just a man in a suit.
Car.
Hanging off a car that flipped him around and he fell off.
This is what I love about this show is that, like, it has some wild stunts. So you're like, this show is about two rich people that just keep wandering into murders.
That's what I love about Bollywood movies, like old Bollywood movies too. It's kind of like, I don't think you guys had the budget for special effects, but that man looks very hurt. Like that's your main actor, and he's crawling through fire right now because
I love it.
That's how you filmed it back then.
And I do love, like, the stunt person. Like, they did a good job of matching him with Jonathan. There are sometimes, though, oh boy, it is.
Oh, when there's a scene later on where Kane and Jonathan are fighting and falling down the stairs, and Kane suddenly has a full head of hair.
I love that. The HD doesn't forgive. And now we see what the ultimate plan is for Jennifer. She wakes up in a bed that is not her own. She goes to a window. Like, opens the window and, oh no, there's bricks. And she goes to a door and opens the door and there's glass and bricks. And then the curtain pulls back on the fourth wall, and there Dodsworth Nash sits in a smoking jacket and his white gloves, marveling at his new acquisition.
Right? I mean, that's what he's wearing. Jennifer Hart. It's in her little socialite terrarium.
Yeah, it is creepy.
He has everything that she wants, including a closet full of her favorite colors.
That's
how he said it.
Oh, you know, the rich guys. He's very Mr. Fish odor, again, from Bob's Burgers. He's very like, oh, I would like five, six foods.
Yes.
Like, this is very like, I went shopping and got all of your favorite colors.
All your favorite colors. And then he questions why she's not eating her salad.
It's from this really fancy restaurant.
I always think that's funny too, is that when you get, if you've ever gotten like an animal, like a pet, and you put the food in front of it and it doesn't eat, like the first day that you get it and it's like scared and freaked out, you're like, something's wrong. It's not eating the food. Like you put a frog in a tank with like some crickets, and you're like, why isn't the frog eating the crickets? It's like, you put the crickets in 30 seconds ago. You put Jennifer Hart in the terrarium 30 seconds ago. She just woke up. She's not going to eat her salad.
And then when Jennifer's like talking back to him, I'm just like, I deserve to leave, and like about like the indignity, the human and like she's crying, like she's doing the, like, she is so full of like dignity and is doing the, like, you know, welling up with tears while asserting her rights as a human. And I'm like, give the bitch an Emmy. This is great. She is so good.
There's a weird moment. It happens twice. And I don't know if you noticed this, but Nash leans against the glass to talk to her, and he's talking to her and it's creepy. And
yeah,
they show her reflection in the glass, but the reflection of the glass is really just the scene that was filmed earlier.
Yeah.
Just superimposed next to his face. So
with like a blurry outline. Yeah. So it looks like, I mean, it looks like he's Porter Wagner, and then Dolly Parton's over his shoulder singing back up, you know what?
and it should be like, it's a reflection, so it should be flipped. It's not like it's.
And then
just
when they show her, you can kind of see his actual reflection.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's very creepy.
Like, they filmed her through the glass, but they filmed him without the glass. I don't know why.
And I don't think it is convincing for what they're going for at all.
It's not a reflection. It is literally fully. It's a graduation photo where you're also appearing over your own shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very strange. and now we're back at Hart Mansion, and I do believe we are in the outfit that I am trying to replicate right now. Oh. Because he's still doing drag. The checkered shirt with three buttons unbuttoned, gold necklace, ID bracelet, pinky ring, gold watch, and then like a windbreaker, and then jeans.
I'm listening to the podcast and not watching it on YouTube, Brett's got the whole thing going.
I call how I dress hardcore, so, because it's influenced by Bob Newhart and Jonathan Hart. So I could recreate almost all of his. If there wasn't a whole bunch of Christmas boxes in front of my tuxedo, I was considering wearing my tuxedo. I love him. And then, man, this episode just like tossing characters at you. I'm like, I love how routine this is for Jonathan and Max at this point, where they're yeah. like, oh, I mean, by now they usually have called in and asked for a ransom.
I got the money for the ransom all ready for you.
But why did they call? And then later, Jonathan says, like, Max, like, well, I'm going with you. So it's like, no, I'll do this one alone. This one. This happens all the time. But so, you know, they get a call from a woman with like a side ponytail, a young girl.
Yeah.
She just wants $5,000. And they're like, what?
Let's talk real quick about
this woman.
Cheryl Smith.
Ooh.
She's known for she's done a lot of films. But she was the female lead in Laser Blast. Which was the last Mystery Science Theater episode before they went to Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh my god.
She was in The Incredible Melting Man, which was also on Mystery Science Theater. And I believe she was in the porn version. Oh, she was in Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, wow. But
I believe she was in the porn version of Cinderella.
Was she Cinderella? The lead.
Yes, she was.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Is that before or after this career?
This is before. Heart to Heart came much later. It was one of her last roles.
Oh. Oh, wait, what happened? Is she okay? Is she dead?
Let's see. I'm looking. She's a B picture actor. She got hepatitis. She was a member of the Runaways.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But she turned to heroin. And she unfortunately passed away. Rainbow Smith. Cheryl Rainbow Smith is the actor's name. It's a lot of sad endings these days.
Oh, man, yeah. But so I do like this scene, though, because it does answer the question. Because at first I was like, well, what the fuck happened to that crane assassin? Like, they are they going to leave it just like you take care of him? So this girl, and she's like 20, like she's playing very young. She's the crane guy's girlfriend. They were going to get married.
With $169,000, he was going to quit. They were going to get married. They were going to get away. So she's like, I want $5,000, which is the equivalent of $17,000. And like now, like... That's also like weird. If someone walked up to me as like $17,000, I'd be like, it's a very specific number.
Yeah.
$5,000, I guess, is if someone said like $5,000, I'd be like, okay, you rounded to the 5,000. That makes sense.
He goes there expecting her to have information on Jennifer. And she's like, no, don't you know that like my boyfriend was basically hired to kill you? That thing was. Dodsworth Nash's whole thing. And so I was wondering, do you have any, like, what's going on? Because Carl's missing. And then she does say, like, no, I don't want the 5,000. I just asked for that to get you here. And then he makes sure that she takes that money because she needs it. And also because he's not going to do anything to find Carl. And also she
he does not care about
girls. Well, also she at the end of the scene she's like, yeah, go find your like why, like she doesn't even say find out something about Carl for me.
she doesn't want the money.
No, I mean she gets it anyway.
He chooses not to get the money.
Now then we go to the so now we're back at the house, and this is what I alluded to, I think, in our side video. The extended shot of Jonathan sitting next to a Van Gogh self-portrait, almost making the exact same face as the Van Gogh self-portrait. And the camera stays on him for a long time.
And what is he talking about? He's talking to Max.
I think they're trying to figure out where Jennifer, like, where could she be? And it's like, well, obviously she's got to be at Dodsworth, Nash's place.
Nash's house.
Because he, like, puts it all together so quick. He's like, well, obviously he would want to kidnap her because she's a perfect piece of art. And then, you know, Max is going to go undercover. You know, so in the context of the show, which we do actually get some allusions to this, Jonathan is an orphan and, like, rough and tumble childhood, you know, pickpocketing, probably very Aladdin. And then Max becomes, like, his essential, like, foster father slash butler, like the guy that
kind of, like, molds him into the man he needs to be, you know.
Alfred, so that's Pennyworth.
Yeah. Yes. Oh God, he'd be such a good Batman. He'd be a horrible Batman, but I would love it. he'd be very Adam West. But yeah, so, like, that is, so, like, you gotta imagine that when, like, oh, Jennifer's been kidnapped, we get to break out the disguises, let me get the trunk. Like, are they excited about this? Because they immediately go to fake mustaches and, like, slapping some bad signs on this van.
And these enormous Yoko Ono sunglasses. These huge sunglasses.
I love it. Because
he's going to fix the glass that Jonathan pointed out was broken when they toured the house.
So he, like, rolls up to the house and they're like, we don't know why. He's like, well, don't you got, like, a broken case? And they're like, oh, yeah, okay.
We do have a broken case. They wand him down with a metal detector.
They find the glass cutter. Jonathan hanging on?
Yes, he was hanging on underneath the van.
No, not while it was moving, right?
Well, how else could he have gotten there? He didn't leave the van and then sneak under.
Because they opened the van to, like, check it and it's empty. And then he's under these guys.
Yeah.
Jennifer disappears for 5 seconds. And all of a sudden,
Max is dressed in coveralls with a big fake mustache and glasses.
And Italian accent?
Italian accent. Yes, he did.
God, so good. And so then to, like, also help Max, like, get around, Jonathan outside, like, what is he? He pours, like, soap.
Yeah, he pours like
into the liquid, vents,
like lemon scented pledge.
Yeah.
Into the air conditioner unit. So the entire house smells like lemon, I guess.
Yeah.
It's noticeable. It's obvious.
And of course, this is going to get to your germaphobe. He's freaking out.
They've turned the alarm off because Max is like, oh, I can't work if you got the alarm on. And he says, do I look like the kind of guy going to steal a Bible? In this Italian accent, that's Life with Luigi all over again.
Oh no. Yeah. I mean, so, like, at this point is where they realize, oh, maybe Jennifer needs the perfect mate. Maybe that will make her happy.
If I were them, I'd just shoot him. I'd just shoot Jonathan Hart. Just shoot Jonathan Hart. No,
he's perfect. He's the perfect mate. Oh God. But they put him in there. And then they have this long conversation, like, Jonathan and Jennifer are now under glass, hearts under glass, and are both Kane and Dodsworth, like, are there, and they're like,
yeah,
well, even if the cops come, they will never find you, because this room is underground and impossible to find. And then the next scene, like, Max sees them come out, he walks over and, like, pushes a button on the little, like, Scots, and then just goes and finds them immediately.
Finds him immediately and says, I'm going to use my glass cutter. No glass man should be without it. And he goes to start cutting the glass, and then they find him.
He doesn't know how to do it for some reason. He's like, how do you cut glass? Which is also like, I'm kind of like, I think that seems pretty intuitive. And then Jonathan, which I'm now like, during his orphan pickpocket days, probably had to do this. He knows immediately. He's like, yeah, scour the glass. Got to do, like, he knows everything. they also, at this point, is when they do mention throw. We'll feed Max. They're like, oh, get Max. When they capture him, they're like, get Max, feed him to the snow leopard like Carl. Like,
I will say that this episode doesn't let anything drop. Yeah, like, all these little hints are dropped throughout, and they all come back. Carl was eaten by the snow leopard. It comes back.
How they get out is they like Jonathan. Well, Jennifer's like just so despondent, looks at her ring and is like, I'll never get to grow into it. And he's like, diamond, but 10 karat diamond cuts glass. And then he just cuts that glass, baby.
Yep. And then he knocks it out with a chair leg and they escape.
And then they go back up to the hallway, and now they're sneaking down the hallway. They see two, like a pair of loafers peeking out behind a clock in, clock out thing. Like, it's a weird like security panel.
Well, they see the henchmen, and they get a vase, and they pull the flowers out of the vase, and he sneaks up with the vase, and Jennifer sneaks up with the flowers.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to scourge him with the flowers.
And then Max comes out, and they're like, oh, okay. And then Max says that instead of taking it, like, he was waiting, they put Max with the penguins.
I was in a glass case full of penguins.
But he got a second glass cutter. Ah, he's a good glass man.
And so then the actual henchman comes. They do the whole thing again.
Different vase.
Different vase. Flowers. And then he takes the vase to the big guys. It's the assassin guy from the park.
Yeah.
Takes the vase, smashes it into like his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it knocks him out cold.
Well, it's a prop. It's prop glass. I don't know if you can just take a whole prop vase and smash it over someone's head. I don't know. I'm not.
Heart to heart usually goes hard. So this is, they can run someone over with a car, but they can't. And then we get a fight between Jonathan and Kane.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The stuntman playing Kane not only has a full head of hair, but the back of it is painted gray. I don't know if you want to see it again, but it's a full head of hair because Mike Piazza is bald all the way to like the back of his head. This stunt actor has all the hair, and it is spray painted gray for some reason. Not all of it, just the
back. This fight is like both of their necks and backs would be fucking broke because they like tumble down the stairs over railing. Like, they have a full railing kill moment, like just like go over and then drop. And then when we catch up with them, where they landed was on stairs. And Jonathan landed on top of Kane. I'm like, man, that back would be broken.
Yeah, Kane's not doing so well.
No.
Critical hit.
And then out walks fucking... They go find Dodsworth Nash.
Which they shouldn't... part of me is like, they shouldn't have done that. But then I'm like, what are they going to do? Go to the police? He's already said he can't go to the police. He's above the police.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what else would you do? I guess you confront him?
Confront him and sneeze on him. That's what I was like. That's what I mean. My mind immediately...
Bit on him.
But instead he like backs, he's like, oh, backs and like backs into a chair. The chair like breaks the chair and chair cuts his glove and he starts bleeding and freaking out.
Yeah. And it's kind of anticlimactic as he's kind of threatened them and he's just taken down by a cut on his hand.
Knowing that, hey, that's, you know, he flew too close to the sun. Germaphobes shouldn't be handling all this old dusty stuff.
That's why it's all under hermetically sealed glass.
And then the final, the little coda that we get is, you know, they're in bed and they're having breakfast in bed. Jennifer's serving Jonathan. And of course, his shirt is halfway unbuttoned because that's just how he lives. And then she's like, well, actually, our anniversary is the wood anniversary. So I got you this present. And he opens it up and it's two chopsticks. And then, of course, because it is the year 1981 and someone said the word chopsticks, we have to hear that music cue.
Yeah, it's the I'm not going to do it.
No, because you know it.
But just remember, it's the beginning of Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas.
Like,
right.
And then like for some reason, like the entire rest of like the little coda, like the next like 10 seconds is all tinged with that music. And it's like. And she's like, oh, there's a card. The card is just like a piece of paper folded over. It's like, tell him when I go to the Peking Palace. And he's like, oh, where's the Peking Palace? And he's like, it's in Peking.
Then more it's a Chinese music. Restaurant in Peking. And then he says the line that he says, have sticks, we'll travel, which is a throwback to the actor who played Nash, John Daner, his role in Have Gun, Will Travel. Like, that blows my mind.
Was that, like, known enough that viewers would be like, oh.
Viewers in 1981. Well, it's,
because
it's,
he wasn't on the Have Gun, Will Travel TV show, was he? Was on the radio show.
You know, that's a good question. He probably guessed it, but now I have to find that out.
So I feel like that is probably like Robert Wagner being a super, because he's a super nerd about old Hollywood and stuff, because he was a part of it, baby.
Those stories. The more I learned about him, the more I'm like, oh, you didn't have a lot of good movies.
Oh, Robert Wagner?
Yeah, he did not.
Prince Valiant, baby. he was in Towering Inferno and like what Journey, the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, right? No, he was in the boat, the Shelley Winters, the boat.
Das Boot.
Down Periscope.
The things I have, his big thing was It Takes a Thief.
Yes, which I need to watch.
He was a studio player for 20th Century Fox. So he just did a lot of B films.
Yeah.
Just a lot of B films.
When he was on he did It Takes a Thief, and then he did Switch with Eddie Albert,
who's
another one of my huge crushes. And so like I need the both of those shows he looks amazing in. And then Heart to Heart, baby.
He had a production company with Natalie Wood called Rona Productions, which nowadays seems like don't say Rona. Never say Rona. Not any Rona.
Yeah, man.
Coronavirus.
There you go.
And now he is married to Jill St. John, who was
a Bond girl
and the female villain lead in the first episode of the Batman TV show with Frank Gorshin as the Riddler.
Ooh, who should Robert Wagner have played on Batman 66?
I'm looking at all my Batman villains.
I think like Two-Face is who you always go to when you're like, well, they're a big, but he was younger.
Yeah, he was younger.
I mean, Clayface, although I think Hayden Rourke should have been Clayface.
He would have been a great Clayface.
The old actor.
He would have been a great Clayface. He would have been a great Catman.
Hatman. Oh, Hatman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, Catman. Catman. The counterpoint to Catwoman was Catman.
Oh, God.
Thomas
yes.
Blake, the Catman, was virtually Jonathan Hart. They look the same. They're both, you know, extremely
chested
wealthy.
With chest hair all over. The Nicholas Scott. That's the artist, right? From Super 6. Yeah. Her Catman, so hot. Also, Jonathan Hart exists in the Marvel Universe because Jack of Hearts, his real name is Jonathan Hart. For some reason, like they just called him Jack Hart, H-A-R-T, forever. And then the most recent She-Hulk run, Rainbow Rowell, like established, no, his full name is Jonathan Hart. And I lost my fucking mind. I don't think she intended that, but like,
I've got to say, the Rainbow Rowell run of She-Hulk has been very good.
Yeah, I need to catch up. God.
It just relaunched like in October.
Are you ready for the must-have facts?
Yeah, make them happen.
So this episode of television was, this deranged episode of television was watched by 16.5 million people who tuned in and were like, yes, this is Heart to Heart this week. A+. It was number 15 for the week. It was never a huge hit. I think this one might actually be like the peak of its popularity. The top six programs of the week, number six were the Jeffersons, five was NFL something or other, four was Three's Company, three was Dukes of Hazzard, two was Dallas, and number one was 60 minutes. And it was a big deal that 60 minutes beat Dallas this week. All the newspapers were writing about
it. what was the topic?
I don't know. I should actually look that up. What was the topic of...
I don't even know how you'd look that up.
I'll figure it out. Oh, you look at old newspapers. So the ABC Tuesday night lineup was Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, Too Close for Comfort, and then Heart to Heart. So, holy, like, they had that.
That's pretty good. That is really good.
Now, the saddest must-have fact that I have is that Natalie Wood drowned 5 days after this aired.
Aye.
So, yeah, this is November 24th. She drowned November 29th, 1981. So this is the last episode that aired before she died.
The night that it aired, November 24th, 1981, Typhoon Irma struck the Philippines, killing 408 people.
Jeez.
Bringing a storm surge that killed another 270. I'm reading this verbatim from the Wikipedia article for the day.
For that day.
Also the first surface to air missile launched or something like that. I don't know.
It was probably Dodsworth Nash.
I need to get rid of this missile before the cops get me.
Wild time.
Just to go back, John Daner was in one episode of Have Gun Will Travel.
Oh yeah. I feel like that's on the day Robert Wagner was probably, you know, talking about. So I was already talking to him about, oh, so you're on a Have Gun Will Travel back on the radio show. Like, but, so he's like, I'll add this line just for you. Like, yeah. God. Oh.
I'm sure Dan was very happy for it.
Good. What are you watching tonight? It is on ABC. We got Heart to Heart. The episode is described in the newspaper as Jonathan learns that his nearly fatal accident was planned by an eccentric art collector who wants to add Jennifer to his collection. On CBS, we have the premiere of the TV movie A Small Killing. Edward Asner, Gene Simmons. An undercover cop and a female professor posing as a bag lady trail a killer with help from a motley crew of elderly street people.
Is this Gene Simmons from Kiss? Or
no,
different...
J-E-L, man, that'd be great. Ah. Yeah. And then on NBC, an episode of Flamingo Road. Wealthy Michael Tyrone comes to Truro and uses his girlfriend, who is Sam's ex-wife, in a plot to gain valuable land. So
I'm watching Heart to Heart because I'm an eccentric art collector.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, you are.
I'm going to show once again my picture of John Saxon.
Yeah.
It is autographed.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching Heart to Heart. I am. This is 1981. Oh God! Usually this is where we fantasize about where we would be, and I'm like, man, it's 1981, and I'm in Los Angeles. I'm hanging out with Jonathan Hart. I'm hanging out with Robert Wagner.
You have to hang out with Robert Wagner.
Yeah, who's you know, just putting
would you
all
get
those...
invited? Yeah,
there. I mean,
you might be on the boat.
I mean, if I could time travel, I would.
If you were his friend, you might be like Christopher Walken. You might be
histories.
On the boat with him.
I would tell Christopher Walken, "No, you're not coming. I don't want your. I'm gonna be there. Or actually, how's about we just don't go on the fucking boat?
Don't go on the boat.
Don't go on the boat. I know y'all love sailing. Y'all really, really love sailing.
You know, there's a lot of fun things you can do. You can go to your local library.
It's Thanksgiving. You know,
tons of books.
It was like the weekend after Thanksgiving. So like, yeah, just terrifying.
Do something else.
But anyway, yeah, it's 1981.
Disney World is open. Disney World has been open for 10 years.
God, I would be submitting scripts to Heart to Heart. I would be writing insane. I would be writing Jonathan Hart water polo episodes. Sending it. Please make this happen. Jonathan Hart joins the diving team. Jonathan Hart goes undercover as a Chippendale. Like,
I'd write a scene where Max admits that he killed and ate somebody.
It was the Pacific. We were lost.
I was hungry. And this guy he wasn't going to make it.
It's basically like the opening of Christmas in Connecticut, except the guy actually eats the other guy on the raft.
Yeah.
Christmas in Connecticut has a wild opening, by the way.
I think that Max you could do a lot with Max, just kind of like drop little hints to all the weird stuff that Max has done in his life. And Jonathan completely is fine with it.
Oh, I love it. Max is essentially like the Alexis from Schitt's Creek. Like, that's the running gags they should have gotten from him. But yeah, on IMDb, 112 Hardys, they rated this a 7.7
out of 10. 7.7 out of 10. Oh,
I would give this like an 8.3.
I'd probably give this a 7.9. Yeah.
I do think this is one of the more insane heart-to-heart episodes.
Well,
so
it was very strange. I was not expecting any when I'm expecting like, oh, he wants to marry her. Because I think I read some kind of like synopsis that said that. And I'm like, oh, okay. She just wants like, and I'm like, why did Brett pick this? Oh, he doesn't want to marry her. He wants to keep her in a terrarium, like a turtle.
Yeah. And he thinks that she would be totally fine with this. She's like, well, he's just
giving her salad.
I've given her
salad.
I've given her clothes. I've given her salad.
It's got the lemon dressing that she loves.
I gave her bed. I love that they went through the trouble of making a door that opens up to glass that is in front of a brick wall.
You're going to need to give her some vitamin D supplements because she's not going to get any sun.
No, she's underground. Oh, man.
Yeah. Look, like I'm not telling you how to keep your human prisoner.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they're considering you have a pet. You have a responsibility.
Must-see performance. I'm going to give this to Stephanie Powers. I do remember at one point someone did call me out on not giving Stephanie Powers enough due in these episodes because I am so in love with Robert Wagner. And every single time he's on screen, I cannot think about anything other than kissing him. And this is okay. I'm getting distracted. She's so good in this episode. She's a great actress in this episode. She really sells. They are like, okay, Stephanie Powers, you have currently woken up. You are in a glass. You're in a terrarium. Go. You know, like, she sells it with tears and like, oh, she's great.
I would, you know, I'm going to give Ben Piazza his due because I don't know if anyone ever did. I thought he had a great performance in this. He was a henchman. He was Kane the henchman. And I was like, you know what? As far as henchmen go, he's probably the best. He's one of the best.
Yeah, he's up there with Bob the Goon.
Yeah.
From Batman. Who I always thought was Larry from Newhart.
Or
Daryl or Daryl.
Or maybe, yeah. Or I was going to say, like, I can't remember his name. Danny Trejo.
Yeah, just in general.
Yeah.
And must other people see this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because I honestly think we didn't even scratch the surface of the insanity.
It's so strange. It's great, though. Like, this great TV. Like, I like this. This is good TV.
I mean, why? They just don't make TV like this anymore. Poker Face is as close as we've gotten, but even that is prestige and you're only getting 8. They had to crank out like over 20 of these a year. And every single week, a new predicament, new cast, new locations.
Well, if I'm ever over at your house and hanging out and we're just hanging out and usually we watch like Yankee in the South, which I don't mind watching. Ooh, more Yankee in the South.
Do you want to shout out Yankee in the South?
Shout out Yankee in the South.
Yitz, yitz, yitz.
If you turned on Heart to Heart any episode, I'd be like, hells yeah.
I mean, we haven't even talked about the disco dancing cruise or the bodybuilding competition or the fashion show. There is a fashion show. then I guess, yeah, there are episodes where Jennifer has a doppelganger and Jonathan has a doppelganger. So, you know.
Soap opera tropes.
God, I just love it so much. But I mean, that is everything. Yep. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Please go to the YouTubes and watch the special heart to heart treat that we got for you.
Brett, where can people find you online if they want to get in touch?
People can find me online at Brett White on Instagram, and you can follow my drag exploits as Barb Hardley on YouTube at Barb Hardley and Instagram at Barb Hardley. Ethan Barca, people find you.
EthanK55 on Instagram. It's a fun place to be.
And please continue to email musthaveseentv@gmail.com. Comment on anything, personal accounts, anywhere. Like, we'll talk.
Yeah.
We don't bite. We're not snow leopards. None of you are the Carl. Thanks, Acast.
We're all our own kind of Carl.
And next week is the 90s, where we will be talking about Lorenzo Lamas and Renegade. Or Silk Stockings. No, Pacific Blue.
We're not talking about sitcoms anymore. We'll talk about anything. We'll talk about a fun sitcom.
But yeah.
This is virtually a sitcom. Come on.
There are situations and it is funny.
Yes.
People tell jokes.
The bare minimum for a sitcom.
Yay. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Na-na-na-na.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.